And now coming to you nearly live from a mineshaft deep beneath Virginia City, the richest place on earth. It's the Storyteller Podcast. I'm your host, Sam Toll, and I'm coming to you today here on the 5th of December. And, you know, it's the season of sharing. And one of the things that keeps the storyteller active in the community is that people share our stories. They push what we write and the content that we create to their friends, both on Facebook, social media, and via email. We exist at your pleasure, and what we produce is content that is driven by our audience. So the best thing that you could do for the storyteller and perhaps for Story County, if you see things the way we do, is to get the message out to folks who don't know about what we're doing. Many of the folks in Story County are not internet active. You know, they our demographic is 50%, 55 years and older, and many of those folks rely on the newspaper to get their information. And if any of you have read the newspaper since last Swanson was forced to give it up, and Elaine Spencer Barkdahl and Zach Spencer came back from Arizona to work for the mining company and resume their efforts at the Comstock Chronicle, you'll know that, you know, there's an awful lot of fluff, there's an awful lot of cheerleading, but there's not a lot of what used to be known as journalism when Angela Mann and Lass Swanson were making a go of it. So if you know folks that are you know, a little bit older, they don't necessarily check their Facebook status every day, share with them our message, get the word out to them, because it's important to realize that unless we collectively work together as a community to push things forward and to make positive and constructive changes in our governance and in our community, then, you know, the five families who think they own this place because they've run it for the last 60 years will continue to wield their good old boy networks and reward each other with our taxpayer dollars. The latest county commissioner meeting was just as clear and stunning example of the lack of leadership that this county has when it comes to dealing with the cronyism and the good old boy network taking care of each other at the expense of the taxpayers and you know, the hardworking people in the county who have integrity, you know, who don't make $150,000, $200,000 a year, but still bust their tails to give the taxpayers what they pay for. So without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get into this week's interview where Sheriff Antonoro and I discuss the holiday season, the safety issues with the horses, and body cameras. So without any further ado, here's Sheriff Gerald Antonoro on the Storyteller Podcast. All right, once again, Sheriff Gerald Antonoro has been kind enough to grant me some time. We're here at the beginning of December talking about different things that are going on in Story County, the holidays, some body cams, and other stuff. Good morning, Jerry. How are you today?
Doing well, Sam. Thanks. Has been a long time. Almost forgot how we did this, but we're getting there. Is an interesting time. We are going into the holiday season. Just wrapped up Thanksgiving. I hope you and everybody who listens to this had plenty to eat and plenty to be thankful for. Of course, now we're going into Christmas, and that offers up a whole host of things that we should be concerned with. You know, not being an alarmist or anything, but, you know, wanting to keep people safe. So guess we should probably talk about some of those things.
So, yeah, you know, we've got lots of Christmas parties. You know, the bars are open. It's nice to stay inside where it's warm, have a few holiday eggnogs or what have you. But, you know, with Christmas trees being lit up, with holiday parties out there, You know, the horses on the roads and other folks out there on the roads, it's important to think about your fellow man and be considerate. I know that traffic safety is something that you guys are big on this time of the year.
Well, absolutely. That's probably number one in my book as far as public safety goes. Is there are going to be a lot of parties, a lot of people getting together and sharing the goodwill of the season, as it were. You know, and I would just offer up what I've said for years. You know, if you're around town and you're having a few too many holiday cheers, you know, give us a call, because we'd much rather give you a ride home and make sure that you got there safe rather than, you know, having to deal with the unfortunate consequences of an impaired driver, whether that's the individual who's driving or, you know, somebody in the other car who was just coming from a holiday party and didn't bother to call us. So, you know, anywhere in Story County, we can get you back and forth. We don't run a taxi service. I'm sure the taxpayers wouldn't appreciate that, but it is much cheaper and more efficient to, you know, move people around that way than in handcuffs or body bags.
One of the things that's been on people's minds lately are the horses. I know that in the last couple of weeks, vehicles have struck horses. You know, it's getting darker earlier. It's, you know, the days are shorter, so the amount of darkness that we deal with as we're driving is lengthened. What is there anything short of just paying attention, keeping your eyes open, and keeping your high beams on? Is there anything that can be done with respect to horses and driver safety?
And anytime you bring up the horses, it becomes a touchy subject. You know, right now we're in a position where the Department of Agriculture, who has ultimately responsibility for the horses, have canceled their contract with the cooperative groups who were helping with the management of the horses. They were doing a lot of good things, and we could lock up a whole block of time just talking about the issues between the Department of Agriculture and the cooperatives, but we'll try to avoid that and stick to topic here. But that's the best way, is like with anything else, slow down, be attentive, and of course, you know, don't be driving if you're under the influence, because that's going to slow reaction time and perception, you know, in general. It's going to be longer for you to see them. It's going to be longer for you to slow down. We just had one of our staff members hit a horse this past weekend traveling home in his own vehicle, and you know, fortunately I understand he's doing okay, banged up a little bit, but I saw the photos of his vehicle and it did a number on that truck. These are big animals that can do lots of damage. But likewise, you know, there's been tons of deer out and about, you know, as they're migrating back and forth from summer to winter grazing places. You know, there's still a little bit of easy food to get around town, so we're seeing a lot more deer down there in our neck of the woods, down in Gold Hill. Just about every day driving through there, I've come across a herd that ranges from 4 or 5 deer to, you know, upwards to 20 deer, depending on what little groups of them are coming together. So deer, horses, actually recently we've even had some cows up on Geiger Grade and through the highlands. You see a Texas Longhorn up there, and it kind of stands out, but you know, it's just that's the rule, especially in the dark. Slow down, make sure you're not overdriving your headlights, and don't drive impaired.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned those deer. I chased off 20 of them in my front yard the other morning, or the other evening in the afternoon, and I just couldn't believe there were that many of them. But, you know, the key point is to just be aware. You know, slow down, pay attention. There are spots where the horses, you know, travel. They go back and forth across the highway. It was an interesting conversation on the Highlands chat group the other day regarding fences and signs, and, you know, whether or not maybe NDOT should put a flashing sign up or whatnot. But the real key, I mean, we can do all kinds of different things. The issue is that you got to pay attention, be responsible for yourself, and just make sure that you're doing what you can to to avoid an accident, avoid an incident. You know, the last thing you want to be doing is driving impaired, and that includes under the influence of a cell phone. So keep the, you know, keep that text and stuff done. I noticed that on the agenda for tomorrow's commissioner meeting, we're recording today on Monday, was it December 5th today? It's the 4th. And tomorrow on the commissioner's agenda is the body cams and the fact that we're moving forward on that. Can you share with the audience what's going on there and what the next step is for body cams?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about that. But before we go down the body camera trail, let me just wrap up one thing that I wanted to share on holiday safety. A lot of people out traveling around, a lot of people out shopping, a lot of bandits out there too that's looking to get your goods or take your money or your presents or whatever. So, some of the best tips to stay safe is one of the things you talked about when you're driving. Just be alert, be aware of your surroundings, see who's lurking around. A lot of folks are going down to town to do their holiday shopping and everything. Pay attention to who's around you when you're walking to and from your car. If you're going to have a bunch of stuff in your vehicle, if you have a friend or a family member who can sit in the car once you start loading it up with things, that's ultimately the best. But, friends, family, they want to come wandering around with you and everything. So try not to keep things out in plain sight. Lock them in the trunk of your car, or if they're in the back seat, maybe throw something over the top of them so it's not as obvious. Make sure you're locking your doors on your cars going back and forth, and your home doors. I hear that all the time up here. Well, I live in Story County. I don't even feel the need to lock my doors. Doors keep honest, or locks keep honest people honest. That's all they do. And someone comes up to knock on your door and it slides open because it didn't latch all the way, wasn't locked, that's an invitation. And an otherwise honest person may become a little bit on the dishonest side. So, just keep your stuff locked up, be safe out there, and nobody wants to go and buy Christmas for the kids, grandkids, friends, families, neighbors, only to have it disappear and end up under someone else's Christmas tree, or even worse, in a pawn shop, and be converted into drugs or whatever for somebody's problems. So let's move to the body cameras now. And the last legislative session, esteemed legislators decided that was going to be the best way to go, is mandate body cameras. So unfortunately, regardless of what somebody's take is on the cameras, the taxpayers are going to be buying a lot of body cameras for officers throughout the state. If I sound kind of tongue-in-cheek about body cameras, it's because I am. I'm not a fan of the body cameras. Trust me, I like cameras. I like knowing that my people are being recorded. It makes sure everybody's behaving themselves, or puts people on better behavior anyway. But the body cameras, I question the wisdom behind that, just because of the way they work and the view that it offers. I would much rather have seen them go with a dash cam or something. And while, yes, you may not get the actual video recording, you get a lot of audio. Those have been around for a lot of years. There's mechanisms that can be pre-programmed into them. Body cameras are missing about a whole bunch of that. That being said, though, like I said, we have no choice. We will be getting body cameras. The good part of that is, back in the 2015 legislative session, when they first broached the object or subject of body cameras, technology wasn't as good. The equipment was more expensive. We were looking at a startup cost of $80,000 for Story County. Last couple of years, a lot of progress has been made. So what we are looking at now, and that's what we'll be talking about at the commission meeting tomorrow, is we've looking to enter into an agreement with a company to provide us with the cameras. We get a cloud serve as storage, so we're not having to buy a $30,000 server to keep all this stuff on. And the cost, we looked at a 3-year with a 2-year extension. If you take into account that entire 5 years, we're looking at about $50,000. So we've gone from $80,000 startup one-time expenditure to $50,000 for 5-year period, which is a phenomenal savings when you start looking at that, averaging about $10,000 a year. Unfortunately, you know how government is, once a program is implemented, seldom do you ever see it go away. We just keep throwing more and more and more and more money at it. So, at least for the foreseeable future, basically our lifetimes, you're looking at an added cost of about $10,000 a year or more for body cameras. The cameras should last for a while, technology's always updated with a 5-year agreement that we're looking at, that includes automatic upgrades during that 5-year period. It's our cloud storage. A number of good things come with it. We looked at several different companies. This company that we're going to be pitching wound up being the most cost efficient and the most operationally efficient. We tested out several cameras, and hopefully it'll do what it's designed to do and keep everybody on their best behavior. A lot of people in law enforcement say it's good protection for the officers, and absolutely it's good protection for the officers. We get a lot of people making complaints. Sometimes those complaints are a little bit exaggerated, so these can immediately put that to rest. Flip side of it, when it comes to evidentiary value, there's some good with that, so it might make court cases proceed a little bit better. Flip side of it, and this is the big stick in the eye, I guess. These things that we see on the media with the shootings and whatnot, you've heard the last several of them, there's been issues with the body cameras. Either they didn't get turned on, or they didn't capture what they were supposed to capture, because they were pointed off in some other direction. And that's my concern with the body cameras. But like I said, we're stuck with doing it, so hopefully we'll convince the commissioners that this is the best contract to go with, because it does give us operational and financial efficiency on there. And I say, unfortunately, it's something we'll be paying for a lot of years to come. So,
well, thank you for that update. It's interesting. The two things come to my mind. One of them is, the unfunded mandate that legislatures have saddled and burdened the taxpayers with. Anytime you get government involved in mandating stuff, that they don't allocate funds for, it puts the burden on, us folks, the taxpayers. The other observation, though, is the notion that the free market works. 3-4 years ago, the technology was such that our burden was going to be $80,000. And thanks to the free market capitalist folks out there, they recognize an opportunity. The cost for technology goes down. Clever folks recognize an opportunity to make some money and save folks like us, taxpayers, some cash. And now suddenly, our exposure is going to be less. And certainly as time goes on, the technology is going to get better. It's going to get cheaper. And hopefully our burden will be less as time goes on. The other thing that's interesting, I certainly understand where you're coming from as far as the efficacy of a body cam to begin with, the technology, what's available, what kind of evidence it captures is certainly, can be problematic. One thing that I do want to point out is that I read a study that was done by NPRI, and they took a look at Clark County. And I guess stepping back a little bit, here in the rural counties, a body camera is going to play a different role, certainly perhaps a less obvious role in the day-to-day operations, but in urban areas like Clark and Washoe County, it can be a benefit for both the public and law enforcement. You know, the number of complaints for police abuse has gone down 40%, according to this study that NPRI did in Clark County after the deployment of these devices. So the fact that it kind of levels the playing field, keeps everybody honest, or at least, you know, documents as best it can the incident that may be taking place, is a benefit, I think, to everyone. So we'll watch this with interested and curious eyes as it unfolds, and hopefully your officers will see a benefit. The men and women in the field will be able to benefit from this, and the folks who you serve, the public, will also enjoy a benefit. The one thing that I've just dawned on me to talk about, I know that we're bouncing back and forth, I'm going to jump back to the horses for just a minute. It's not a good idea to feed and water the wild horses. And one of the things that brings those animals into the urban areas is the free lunch. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch, and wild horses are just like human beings sometimes. You know, if you put out free food and free drinks and free stuff, they're going to come around and change the way they behave, and they'll become a little bit more domesticated. So watering them is one thing, feeding them is another, but that's another element. So we've covered public safety. We've ridden the horses into the ground. Schools are going to be out. Some of the kids are going to be out and about. Again, it's dark. We're back on public safety again. Be careful for the kids out there. They're out there having fun. There's going to be lots of events and things to do. And because it gets dark early, it's not going to be as easy to see them. So once again, pay attention, be safe, and watch things while you're driving. Sheriff, anything else you'd like to share with the audience before we call it a day?
Well, you just bring up the kids, and want to just reiterate that what you said. Make sure you keep an eye on them. It's supposed to be a time of year where everybody can enjoy themselves, and the kids like to ooh and ah over the lights, and people will be out enjoying outdoor activities and stuff. Over the weekend, we got a reminder, a local reminder of how badly things can go. Just heard on the radio over the weekend about a fellow who died in prison after a 1983 abduction and murder of a couple of girls down in the Reno area who were outdoors and wanting to do some ice skating, stuff like that. So it's a far cry from when we were kids and could go out, and we didn't have a whole lot of the concerns that we do now. But the world is quite a different place than what it was 30, 40 years ago and beyond. But let's keep the kids safe. Let's enjoy our families. Use a little bit of common sense before we start getting too far down the revelry rabbit holes. And hope everybody has a safe and good holiday season. And thanks for coming in and visiting.
Thank you as well, Sheriff. I look forward to doing more of these, at the close of this year and the beginning of next. We're in for some great times. The change of weather is upon us. It's cold, it's chilly. But good times are on the horizon. Be safe out there. And once again, we really appreciate the hard work that you're, men and women who are serving us do every day. They're doing a great job, and we really appreciate it. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon. Well, that's going to wrap up another podcast. Want to really thank our sheriff for taking time out of his busy day to talk with us. If you enjoy what we do, please share it with a friend. TheStoryteller.online is our web address. We're on Facebook and Twitter as well, and we do push our stuff out there. The latest piece that we've produced has created quite a bit of controversy and has become our most read piece. I'm excited to say that based upon the numbers that I experienced when I was working with Lass at the Comstock Chronicle, the circulation numbers for my last piece exceed the printed number of copies of the Chronicle 3-1. So pretty excited about the traction that we're getting. Again, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.